This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune again. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
And strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Come before you again, and Lord, you have placed upon my heart a great burden that all who are here would know that you are God, that the moment you chose each one of us to be given a soul and a body and to be born of man from the seed of Adam, we began an eternal journey forever. And by what we choose to do or not to do while we are here on earth is a grand examination and a grand test. For though we will live forever, our choices will determine where we will live, and that heaven is real. Things are vibrant and alive and beyond description in majesty and wonder. But so too is hell. It was not created for us as mankind. It was created for the other created beings in the angelic realm, specifically those of the angels that are called fallen angels, those that are outside of God's purview of desire, for they have rebelled against God and left their estate. And Father, let us not join that group. Help us each one to choose life and to choose you through your Son Jesus. For you have said through your Son Jesus and to us in your word, just as Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John, that you have made him to be the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man shall come unto you and be in your presence, in your sinless presence, without coming by Jesus Christ himself. Whether we choose consciously to be of Christ and make that decision now and here, or whether we know little of these eternal truths, but yet are drawn and obey the drawing of your Spirit. Lord, I pray right now that you would pour out your Spirit and send your Spirit to every person, whether they be the seed of Adam or whether they be other created beings. Hear this, that God has created us to be as the only created entity, only created being who is in the image and likeness of him, so that we might be called his children. Lord, I pray that you give everyone now and in the future and even in heaven the extreme, urgent, earnest desire to have more of God, to be more like him and to be closer to him in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, in our intent of heart. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I say amen to that. Let's try one more time and see if we can get Brother Mac. He's not answering his Skype. I'm going to try him on his Skype again. Bear with
okay.
me a minute. Okay, we are dialing now.
All right. Yeah, I just talked to him 2 hours ago, so...
He's showing online, but mm-hmm. he may be having computer difficulties. We'll try him on a phone call here, too. Let me do that right now as a backup. We can bring him in on the phone.
Surely.
Okay, stand by out there, everybody.
Hey, Shannon.
Ah, there you go. How you doing, Brother Tom?
Oh, having fun with my computer, Skype.
Hey.
It seems...
Well, you got it
fixed.
They
just put out another update, and guess what? It's monkeyed again.
Oh, yeah. It's like every time you turn around, there's another update there with these systems. And many of them do it on the same day. I'm like, is this a concerted effort?
Most certainly is.
Everybody, welcome aboard. We're going to get started. We just opened up with prayer, so we'll move right on in. Gentlemen, the mic is yours.
Thank you.
Well, I think the biggest thing we fight through no matter what. Maybe this isn't the best we can do, but thank goodness for cell phones.
Amen.
And it's interesting that sometimes Google seems to have things more together than Microsoft. And
that's for sure.
But a couple of things I wanted to say before we got started. I put up a new series on Bible Code Research. Let's go to BibleCodes.co. And there's a new section. And it sort of seems apropos considering what's just happened here. Destruction through advancements in technology.
Amen.
Come up with a couple of huge Bible codes on it. And this time it looks like they're trying to invoke Genesis 11. They're actually trying to invoke Genesis 11, as we talked about a year ago at this time. In fact, we did a program on it a year and six days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are talking about it again. And as I get a little more information, I'm sure Shannon will be ready to have a program on that. But I think we need to realize the plan, what they're doing. And we're starting to see it unfold before our eyes. And the big thing, they want the children.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that. They want the children. And they want to, that's why Fauci is so big on, oh, we got to have all these kids vaccinated. It's almost a crazy thing like they did with polio vaccine when we were little. And now, of course, the only time we get polio is from the vaccine. Mm-hmm. People still get polio from that vaccine because that's the only way we're introducing it. But it never occurred to them, why don't we just stop that? Because it's not showing up in, it's not showing up naturally. It's only showing up as a result of the vaccines we give these kids. And
amen.
The sad part is it all got started because in the 40s and 50s, of course, we heard that President Roosevelt had polio. Don't know that he did or not. We're just trusting on the government's word. We've seen how good the government's word is on a lot of things. And in fact, some of you are interested. I just redid and remastered The Men Who Killed Kennedy, an interesting series put on by the History Channel in the late 80s and early 90s. And I also have the three episodes they didn't broadcast. And it's amazing how much they covered up. But what's even more amazing is how many of these guys have dug up a lot of these things. Dr. Walt Brown has actually done a chronology on it that's incredible. We have James Fetzer's done a lot of information. He's an emeriti professor at University of Minnesota Duluth. And there's several others too. Gregory Burnham, who I'm a friend with on Facebook. And there's been several others too. But this, if some of you are interested, I would not be opposed to putting it up and letting you download it.
Mm-hmm.
But just let me know. Send me an email. tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. And if you're interested, I'll put it up. But the interesting thing is we've seen that. We've seen the Vietnam War, which they never told us the truth about. And vaccines is another thing they never told us the truth about. It's gotten to the point where we can't trust our government. Because when they can take out a president and put in a despot, then there's a problem.
That's
but
right.
We're coming to the end. We're coming to that point where man's rule is going to be replaced by our Heavenly Father's rule.
Amen.
We're going to see this change, and the Gog-Magog War is one of these changes. And I would suggest go over to aliveontheedge.com, go to the 2022 files, and you go to the main file on that, and this PowerPoint is here for you to download. All our PowerPoints are free. We never charge for them. And so please feel free to download them. I've known people who've called me and said that they religiously download everything we put up. And so what we're looking at is we're seeing a war in Ezekiel 39 and also 38, where our Heavenly Father is drawing these people into the battle. That's what makes this unique from Revelation 20, where we've had at least 1,000 years of millennium. I don't know how long, because the word millennium in Revelation can be translated both singularly and plurally, so we could have more than 1,000 years. But in this case, they're being pulled in. And they're being pulled in because our Heavenly Father is going to let everybody in the Islamic world know who is the true Elohim of the land. And it's not Allah. It's not the moon god. I know they tell you that, oh, no, we're not the moon god. Well, then how come it's on all your flags? Get almost every Islamic country's flag, and they have a moon on it. Is that any kind of coincidence? I've learned that there aren't many coincidences. So they're going to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only those coincidences that are on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I like that. But no, they're coming down. They're being pulled down. But what's going to happen is judgment. And we've seen this before. We're going to see them come down to the mountains of Israel. We're going to see yet another Megiddo event. We've had several. You might remember, if you go to the book of Kings and Chronicles, that King Josiah lost his life at Megiddo at the hands of the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. You know, the Egyptians said, we're going to fight the Babylonians. We don't care about you. But Josiah wanted to fight because they did through his territory. And nobody likes another army pounding on their territory. I mean, the Vietnamese didn't like it that we were there pounding on their territory. I don't think the Koreans really cared that much for it either. But they've come to live with it. But, you know, they would just as soon have their own people rule them and not some other country from a long ways away. I don't know sometimes if the Germans liked it too well that we had all those occupation troops in Germany.
For over 70 years.
Yes. And Major Baird can speak to that, having been there twice, being stationed mm-hmm. there twice. And didn't you always feel like there was a resentment there from the locals that you're there?
Most definitely. Of course, the Germans organized themselves as well. And I remember my wife and I on a excursion on the weekend, because I didn't have any time off except on weekends. And so after church, we were driving our American vehicle up through the Bavarian hills. And we turned into this medium-sized city, only to find that we were right in the middle of a anti-American sentiment. They did not like us. Now, they did allow us to proceed through without totally damaging the car and ripping us out of the car and killing us and things like that. But the sentiment was there. They really did desire to do that. And we learned a lesson, my wife and I did, and of course we reported back to our base, and so that other couples and other individuals would be take more caution and pay attention to what's going on around our area, is particularly on weekends. And yet, at the same time, on a personal level, we had tremendous rapport and friendship that still lasts to this day with various German individuals on an individual basis. And so the love of the Lord surpasses all other emotions, intents, and anger. So be advised, in these times, as perilous as they are, never forget to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your family, your brother and your sister, and to love, first of all, God Himself with all of our being, every fiber and particle of our being. For that will ensure, number one, that we will be kept in the secret place of the Most High God, sheltered under the shadow of His wings.
Okay, let's be a little fair here. Now you've spoken that about Germany, and but also qualified it by saying that that you still had really good friends there. If your Heavenly Father were to tell you to pack up and go to Germany, that's your next ministry, how would you feel about it?
I'd go in a minute. I'd go in a flash. Whenever, at the time of the Lord, because number one, I'm serving the Lord. Number two, it just happens to be in Germany. Actually, I am. Yeah, go ahead.
In other words, it's you wouldn't be thinking about these people don't like us.
No, it wouldn't matter at all. That would have no bearing on the decision at all. Whether they were whiter than I am, whether they were yet more yellow than I am, or red or black, would make no difference. It's just there is no race. And we have race down here on earth. But remember in the scriptures we were taught to pray, thy will be done.
Exactly.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in heaven there is no racism. There is no, you wouldn't even know. You can recognize somebody's coming from a different colored skin or whatever it is, or in a different ethnic background, but that plays no part in heaven, because there's no sin in heaven. And to single out somebody with prejudice is a sin. Why would I want to commit a sin? Why would any of us want to commit a sin? I've said my piece, sorry.
I'm glad you did, because we need to understand this in these last days. There may be judgment on certain groups of people, but that's our Heavenly Father's judgment. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to love them.
That's right.
Put it
that's
in our right. hearts to love these people.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, like we see here, thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee, and I will give thee to the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. And thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Master Yahuwah. And if you go to Revelation 19, we see a very similar two verses. Verses 17 and 18, I put them in here just because the language is very similar. Only this time it says, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Elohim, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great."
Mm-hmm.
That is a major judgment, and one we don't put together very often, because here this is happening in Revelation 19, before the first great end, before the millennium. That's another reason that we don't look at Ezekiel 38 and 39 as happening after the millennium, as some people would argue. We have to be careful. We got to look at these scriptures carefully. There's too many people that they want to make connections where they're not, because there's too many times when the evidence in the Bible collides, but it doesn't connect. And we got to be careful when we get collisions. We have to understand them and stuff. A collision is a wreck, and it's a mess. But when we get a connection, that is something we can work with, and we can drive smoothly through. So we have to, every time we see some of these things, we have to ask the question, is it a collision or is it a connection? Because not everything that sounds the same is necessarily a connection. It could be a collision. And if we put them together, we're going to make a mess.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then we go to Ezekiel 39. And I will send a fire on Magog. And it isn't just Magog. Here comes the conjunction and it is in the Hebrew there. This is not one of those italicized words. And among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. And a lot of people have come up with a lot of things. Some have said, well, the Isles, that must be the British Isles, and by connection, North and South America. And it could
that's a possibility. Well be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It could very well be, considering everything you've said. And I would put in a little promo, get the sharp edge of the sword before it's too late. We try to update the sharp edge of the sword on here, but it's important to get that material and learn it, because it's easier for us if we can build on what it says rather than having to teach it from the beginning. And then, well, why is he doing this? And why is he sending fire down? That they shall know that I am Yahuwah. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahuwah, the Holy One in Israel.
Amen.
So this isn't just for Israel. He's doing it everywhere. If we're sitting in the aisles and we just look at it, it's all that's only happening over there. No, it's going to happen here as well, because we're carelessly dwelling. We're not following our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
For the most part. And it's almost, in some ways, making me realize maybe I need to do a little more repenting when I get done with this program. Because we're dwelling way too carelessly here.
Exactly. And the carelessness is not that in material issues. It really is in the spiritual issues. We are very, very careless, and we are extremely ripe, unfortunately, just terribly ripe to be harvested as those who are in the vast multitude of the great falling away from Christ. You have to be in something before you can fall away from it. And that particular verse that says there shall be a great falling away is speaking to that right now. And we have set ourselves up in various doctrines right now, the doctrines of men, not of God. It's not in the scriptures. It is not in the scriptures. You can infer all you want to. It is not in the scriptures.
That's why I'm sitting, and that's what we were just saying. We're letting people take scriptures and collide them together. And when they do, they make a mess.
Exactly.
We need to connect. And when the connection isn't there, we don't force it. Because when you force the connection, you're going to collide. And
it has eternal consequences where your decision will be as to where you're going to live the rest of your eternity.
And now we get to a couple of very interesting verses in Ezekiel 39, verses 9 and 10. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves, and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. And I underline that part of the verse because why would we burn something for fire for 7 years? That is a kind of contamination we have not seen in the history of mankind. We've seen the Black Death. We've seen it wipe out Asia. We've seen it wipe out Europe. And even, it's an interesting thing, the Great Fire of London in the 17th century. When that fire went through and burnt down that city for the most part, it's interesting that the Black Death was wiped out with that fire.
Mm-hmm.
But that fire did not last 7 years.
No, there is one other thing. There is one other take on it, and that's the other verse, the verse 10. So that they shall take no wood out of the field. They will be, not only will they be cleansing this contamination, but it will actually furnish as a source as a source of heat for the homes. They will not be actually harvesting any other wood at that particular time for 7 years, because they will have such an abundance of these
of raw materials.
Yeah,
because weapons, when you don't have bullets, you might as well melt them down. You might as well turn them into something you can use.
Amen.
And then, so they're going to burn their weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them. They're going to take everything, and they're going to rob those that rob them, saith the Master Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
So one, they're not going to need wood out of the field. And for some reason, I think there's a reason. Because wood will carry contamination. But if you give wood enough time, trees, they will uncontaminate themselves. I remember when I was teaching college, I remember Yellowstone burning because Yellowstone Park wasn't that far away. And I could still remember the fire and the smoke and everything blowing over Butte, Montana.
Mm.
And every once in a while, you would see something burning come out of the sky. And you'd have to go quick, make sure that the fire was put out, or you might have a fire in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a sight. But I would listen to the environmental engineers talk about the Yellowstone fire, and they would say to me, Tom, that fire is not a terrible thing. Because if fire didn't burn those trees, the bugs would get them in another 2 to 3 years, and you'd have a worse mess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I heard them say that, I knew they were right. And yeah, you could probably confirm it.
Exactly. In fact, as recent as I think it was 2003, I'm trying to remember the year. I may be off on the year between 1990 and 2000 to 2010. It wasn't 2010, but it was probably the 98 or 97, 98. We had a tremendous conflagration right where I lived in Alaska. Because the spruce bark beetle had gotten into the spruce and did exactly what you're talking about. and at the same time, then we had a lightning strike in a very dry period, and that's all it took. In the western states, it only takes a small spark to set off a major fire. And that's what it did. And it came right up, jumped the highway right, and actually proceeded right on within 100 feet of our own dwelling on the backside, and followed a field of spruce and jumped through that. We happened to have deciduous trees around us so that they were greener and they weren't affected by the spruce bark beetle. So we had that to our advantage. Plus, we had time enough to wet down all of the shingles and the siding of the house so that the sparks would not ignite the house itself. And it survived.
Okay, explain to what a deciduous tree is.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do I want to say? Gosh, no.
All the broadleaf trees.
All the broadleaf. Like, that's a good description. Yeah, your broadleaf trees, and these were ash and other.
This tree is a pine species. Tree. And they all have, and those the needles are on the tree all year round, whereas in a deciduous tree they fall down in the winter or in this fall, and they're
correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have, like here in Colorado, we have lots of aspen trees, and the aspen trees don't have leaves this time of year, but give it another 6 to 7 weeks and they'll start to pop out leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have a very interesting mix of color, which is what Colorado's famous for.
Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm.
For example, you go to the New England or anywhere where there's lots of trees, the deciduous trees will fan out in lots of different colors before then the leaves fall off them.
Yeah. And well, you know... Exactly. And you know, as we look at the leaves that fall off, and that makes the ground susceptible to flare-ups of fires as well, if you're not careful. And when those fires began, they have a force of their own. They create their own vortex because they're drawing so much air in that it's just like a blowtorch. And I have seen where, in this particular case where it was jumping, it would jump 10 miles in a matter of minutes. In 15 minutes, you would be 10 miles away from the source of the fire, and the next thing you're surrounded with the fire. And if you haven't preparation to get out of there, you're in danger. And just the same way, the Lord continues here in Ezekiel 39, in verses 11 and 13, where the people are the ones that are falling. Now, we've seen in the last verse where the bodies are there and the ravenous beasts of the field and the birds of the air are feasting on them, but they're still there, and it believe you me, that many dead bodies is going to stink, and it tells us about it.
Yes. But you know, it's interesting, you talk about the fires and everything. The other thing is, when those leaves get burned up, and of course we have big bonfires in the winter, at least we did in Iowa, with all the leaves we raked up.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is, those burnt leaves become very, very good topsoil.
Excellent, yes.
And so it isn't a terrible thing. In fact, I know of a lot of farmers who will burn their ground and have controlled fires.
That's
so
true.
That they'll have better ground to raise their crops.
Yeah, much more fertile. Mm-hmm.
And it does
another thing too. There are certain pests, insect pests, that are also burned up in that particular scenario, so that you have a much more friendly environment for the crops that you're going to graze.
So we see this fire, and I'm just seeing here, this is a purification.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to worship your Heavenly Father, you're going to do so in spirit and in truth, but also in purity.
Amen.
Fire is a fiat fire that's going to purify something that's very evil. And weapons mm-hmm. are very evil. I don't have a problem with people having guns to hunt. In fact, we have a problem in this part of the country with too many deer, and we could stand with a few more hunters. And we just, you know, there's a good place for certain weapons, but when we start turning them on each other, that becomes an abomination to our Heavenly Father. But yet, it is this very abomination that he puts upon us when we don't follow his word and do what he says. And when we follow in these abominations, our Heavenly Father will bring further abominations on us. And suddenly that's why we had two world wars in the last century. And I fear another one's coming. And I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. In fact, right. Shannon's had other people on this program that have talked about it as well. And I think sometimes we need to gather all these words together and see what our Heavenly Father is showing us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like there's some words he'll give to some people and then he gives something else to another. But when they get put together, it's like we put the prophets together in the Bible and they all speak the same message, just a little bit differently. The words of Isaiah are not the same as the words of Jeremiah. The words of Isaiah and Jeremiah are not quite the same as Ezekiel. Ezekiel's going into quite a bit more detail because, for one thing, he had the benefit of reading Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah just sort of out on his own. Maybe that's why it took 66 chapters for him to get everything done. But Jeremiah is a deceptive book. It may have only 50-some chapters, but it has more Hebrew letters than Psalms.
Yeah.
And I was a little shocked when I started doing that research and finding out that Jeremiah has more Hebrew letters to it. He's telling a bigger message than even David.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to pay it more attention to Jeremiah than we do. Because he sees things. He watched his own country fall apart. When he was young, he saw the rule of Josiah, or Josiah's, some people pronounce it. And Josiah, for the most part, was a good king. But then after he died in battle, we had Zedekiah and Jehoiachin, or Jeconiah, it was Jeremiah called him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not good kings. They were politicians and not very good ones. And they raised false hopes in the people when Jeremiah told them, the best thing you can do is let the Babylonians come in. Even to the point of calling Nebuchadnezzar a servant. Servant most God. That.
Well, we're doing the same thing here with warp speed, by the way.
Oh, boy.
We're letting in the enemy to have his way with us. And people are in false hope, thinking, oh, this will pass and we'll be back to normal. We will never be back to normal until the Lord comes. We are that close to the Lord's coming. That's what I'm trying to warn everybody. Get ready for your eternal state of being will be decided in an instant, and you won't have a chance to rectify it. If the only thing you can do is at that point in time is to cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me, forgive me. With your last dying thought before you leave your body. Because the minute your spirit and your soul leaves your body, you cannot change the way you are. You can only do it while you're still in your body. So do it now. Sorry. Go ahead.
And here we go. You talked about the smell. Here we are in Ezekiel 39:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And I'm gathering it's the Dead Sea.
And yes, it shall that is stop, correct.
And it shall stop the noses of the passengers.
Mm.
I find it interesting, this word passenger gets used. And it's used because you don't want to be there. You go there because you have to go through it. And there they shall bury Gog and all his multitude. And we remember Gog is that grandson of Reuben, who feels like his family was cheated. He will argue that his family was cheated of the birthright. Yes, Reuben contaminated his family by sleeping with his mother's
his father's
concubine.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time thinking of that word there for a minute.
That
is considered a gross form of adultery. And if you go through the Bible, a lot of people deny it these days, but it's there. Anything other than a husband-wife relationship is considered an abomination.
Amen.
And as I say, that's why these people are going to be shoved off by the Dead Sea, which is pretty useless land from what I understand. And there they shall bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Haman Gog.
Mm-hmm. And that's on the east side, so it's on the Jordanian side of the Dead Sea.
Yes, and it's a place, like I say, you travel through it on your way to somewhere else. You don't stop, and you're not interested in stopping there and checking out your local restaurant to get something.
No, that's true.
I mean, if you did try to eat, you'd probably add to...
Yes, exactly, you would.
But it's interesting, the next statement, verse 12, in 7 months shall the house of Yisrael be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land.
Yeah.
Notice the house of Israel, not the house of Judah. We're going to see all tribes there doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We sometimes have to pay attention to what it's saying. Sometimes it says house of Judah. Sometimes house of Judah. And other times it's the house of Israel. So that's all of tribes. Yea, well, all the land shall bury.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it shall be them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Master Yahuwah. When they're done, you're going to know who is the Elohim of the earth.
Amen.
And then the next verse is even more interesting. Verse 14. And they shall sever out men, continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it.
Mm-hmm.
After the end of the 7 months shall they search. So they're going to go through and search even after the first 7 months.
That's correct, yeah. Now, that follows the actual... There is a set of rules called the Law of Warfare. And in that Law of Warfare that Moses gave to Israel while they were still in the wilderness... He specifically told them that after every battle, you must bury all dead, to include your enemy. Your enemy had to be buried in order for the land to be cleansed. Normally, they were able to do it in a fairly quick time, but this is such a huge grouping. Multitude of multitudes that's being slaughtered by God, that it's going to take, well, here we are, 7 months.
At least 7 months.
And
because
then,
here we go to verse 15.
Yeah.
And the passengers have passed through the land. When any seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it, till the bearers have buried it in the Valley of Haman Gog. So you're going to mark that thing.
Exactly.
and also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. This is, we're going through and cleaning up here. And boy, we're about out of time here.
Oh my gosh.
And once again, if we haven't, we said it once, we're going to say it again. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Master Yahuwah, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. So eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of lambs, of rams, of lambs, and of goats, and of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan, which is up by the Golan Heights these days. I mean, this is going to be very unique. That's why when the passengers go around, they're not going to see a dead body. They're going to see a bone that these critters can't eat. In verse 19, and ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Master Yahuwah. He's going to finish this. He's going to be done with all this war once and for all. He's going to purify this earth.
Amen.
But this is going to be a great place to finish. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am Yahuwah, their Elohim, from that day forward.
Amen.
And further, it goes a little further. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So they all fell by the sword, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus the Master Yahuwah, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, whereof they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. Boy, what a judgment. What a judgment.
Yep.
So, and the last three verses I'll leave for people to read. It's a very interesting summary of what happened to Israel and how it's going to end up.
In fact, we're witnessing and observing it right now. It was prophesied, and we're in the middle of the prophecy.
And it's about to come to pass. And it's going to be just as graphic as it was stated here.
Mm-hmm.
So, all I can say, we've put these things out here because now the temptation is before us. And now we're actually going to see who's willing to follow our Heavenly Father and who is going to follow the will of man. And we're receiving that test right now.
Amen.
So I see we're almost at the top of the hour here. So
yes, gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. We've got about a minute remaining. What do you want to title tonight? And then also, please give out your contact info.
This is the Gog Magog War Part 5. And we're going to... And my name is Professor Tom Mack. You could reach me at tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. And my websites, I have many of them. But whitestonefoundation.org is one of them. BibleCodes.co, we just put up some new information. Please go read that. And in a week or two, Shannon will have me on and we'll talk about it some more.
Fantastic. And Brother Beard?
Yes, this is Tom Beard, Major Retired. You can reach me at aliveontheedge.com or at my email, tom@aliveontheedge.com. And as been mentioned in the program already, The Sharp Edge of the Sword is the prophetic book that the Lord had required me to author. And it has information in there. In fact, we actually have updated information that's just within the last week or so that has come in on some of the prophecies where the Lord initially gave me the understanding of the annihilation part and the overthrow and overturn of the secular portion of our nation, United States of America. But he gave me just recently here the complementary understanding and fleshing out, if you want to say that, giving more information on what it's going to be like after the judgment of the Lord.
Fantastic. And how do they reach you, Brother Baird?
AliveOnTheEdge.com or Tom@AliveOnTheEdge.com for my email.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on tonight. Folks, if you're coming in late, be sure and pick this up in the archive and stay tuned as we continue the marathon. Love you both, guys. Thank you for coming on. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you for having us. Amen.
Thank you.
Folks, let me save this. We're going to be right back. Stand by.